Shalom Chavrim, I'm Stephen Benoon. You're watching Israeli News Live again here at World Harvest Television Network. Delighted to be with you again. Part two, as we're going to go back into the does the Bible prophesy of an alien invasion? And I might say maybe that's not the best choice of words. More of a demonic invasion, I think, would be more accurate. But a lot of information to cover still yet. And I think what's going to be really best to do is to kind of back up just a little bit. Let's pick up where we actually left off, because we didn't even finish. Didn't even have enough time to finish part one there. Got so excited there at the end of the broadcast there. And so we're going to have to kind of back up just a little bit, recap, pick up where we left off, and then we'll go back and play a little bit of, I guess what you'd say, a little bit of catch up on what we were speaking about originally that got this all started from the prophecy of Yeshua, Jesus himself, where he speaks about, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the coming of the Son of Man. We're going to kind of recap all of that information. But before we get started here, one thing that came out in the news, of course, this has been a couple of weeks ago there, so I'm hoping by the time this airs, this has actually become a very productive news that we've heard, and that is that President Trump, it has been leaked out to both Reuters and to the Washington Post. We covered it on Israeli News Live. RT picked it up after we did. That Trump has ended the lavish CIA support for the moderate anti-Assad forces in Syria. That's a huge step forward and a wonderful step in bringing peace not only to that region of the world, but also in bringing peace between the United States and Russia. So regardless of what President Trump's critics have to say about him and his connections with Russia, I think it's a good thing. And I have to tell you as well, I have always been a little bit irritated, I might say, that he's been thrown under the bus because of the, as they call it, the Russian connection. I saw from the very beginning that Russia was hoping for a president that they could work with, a president unlike Hillary Clinton, who was really ready to go to war with Russia, but a president that wanted peace, a president that was respectful of both the national interest of Russia as well as Russia being respectful of the national interest of America. So what was the difference between what Donald Trump was doing before the election and that of President Barack Obama when he was president, and in his case was sent an entire team down to try to Israel to defeat Prime Minister Netanyahu in the elections? Talk about pot calling the kettle black. That's definitely something that we see there. But anyway, I wanted to bring this out because I thought it was a very important news piece that came out here a couple of weeks ago, and also bring you up to speed, because this is definitely part of the world where we're seeing these biblical prophecies that Jesus spoke about being fulfilled. So let's back up. Let's pick up where we left off. Observe thou which I am commanding thee this day. Behold, I am driving out before thee the Amorite, and the Canaanite, and the Hittite, and the Perizzite, and the Hivite, and the Jebusite. Take heed to thyself, lest thou make a covenant with the inhabitants of the land, whither thou goest, lest they be for a snare in the midst of thee. Now, if you look at the Hebrew there, when God says, observe thou which I am commanding you or thee this day, in Hebrew it's literally, Shema lecha et asher anochi. Okay? Matzucha Hayom, it's personally to Moses. So the prophecy has nothing to do with, okay, he's going to do these great wonders with the children of Israel, and that's how the prophecy is going to be fulfilled. God is saying that Moses himself, he will come, and he will drive out the Amorite and the Canaanite, the Hittite, the Perizzite, the Hivite, and the Jebusite. I thought Joshua did it. Maybe there's something that Joshua hasn't done. Look at also Exodus chapter 15. What does he say here? Then sang Moses and the children of Israel this song unto the Lord, and spoke, saying, I will sing unto the Lord, for he is highly exalted. The horse and his rider hath he thrown into the sea. That's another prophecy never been fulfilled. Some people say, well, it's just a song. It says in Hebrew, Az yashir Moshe uvene Yisrael et ha-shirah hazot le-Yahuah ve-yomru le-mor ha-shirah la-Dunai ki ga-o ga-ah sus ve-rekevo rama be-yom. One horse, one rider. not 600. Pharaoh came down with 600 horses and the chariots and everything, and they were thrown into the sea. Moses says in future tense, and even Rashi, the famed Torah commentator, speaks about this. It was a future tense that he speaks about there, that he will throw this horse and his rider into the sea. I think it's the Antichrist. I think he overcomes them. And he comes with great wonders and marvels. The two witnesses, as we know in Revelation, also speak of this. Very interesting. So we get articles like this one here from the CE, Collective Evolution. This Dutch financial whistleblower admits he was forced to sacrifice children at elite parties. What kind of demonic things are going on in this world? Like I said to you, when I saw the vision there, they're taking a little girl and they're going to go feed her to these entities. It says here in the article here, April 29, 2017, whistleblower victims have been coming forward for decades trying to expose the elite, their use of occult rituals to gain power, commonly referred to as black magic, from sexual abuse by different power circles, such as, well, they mention as the Vatican, to secret men's clubs like the one held annually at Bohemian Grove in California, to satanic rituals. It's clear that there must be some truth to these stories. The latest whistleblower to make headlines is Ronald Bernhard, a Dutch entrepreneur whose experience in the financial world impressive contact list quickly pulled him into the world of financial elite. In an interview with Der Vrije Media, Bernard explains some of the darkest secrets within these societies, which even includes rituals performed with human sacrifices. There again, what does it do? Supports this cannibalistic, evil, demonic things that are happening in the world today. Very, very troubling, friends. Very troubling. I want to bring to you as well, Zechariah chapter 8, verse 21 to 23. And this again, I think, goes hand in hand with the two witnesses when it says, the inhabitants of one city shall go to one another, saying, let us go speedily to pray before the Lord and to seek the Lord of hosts. And I will go also, yea, many people. Strong nations shall come to seek the Lord of the host in Jerusalem and pray before the Lord. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, in those days it shall come to pass that 10 men shall take hold of all languages of the nations, even shall take hold of the skirt of him that is a Jew, saying, we will go with you, for we have heard that God is with you. I think that that is speaking specifically of your two witnesses. We're out of time for today, friends, but I had to share with you some of these insights. One more quick one here. I think we just got about 30 seconds here. RT News brought out this article here. This is the former defense minister of Canada, who's also come out as one of the State Department of Canada, former defense minister that has come out as a whistleblower as well, saying that aliens are definitely among us. He has inside knowledge to this as well. Covering, I'm Stephen Benoon. You're watching Israeli News Live here on World Harvest Television Network. Back again with part two. Does the Bible prophesy of an alien invasion? And sometimes I wonder if I chose the right title for this broadcast or not. But I think the point we were trying to get across to you last week, I think we're maybe it's sinking in. It's not so much an alien invasion, but it's a demonic invasion is what it really comes down to being. And what many call aliens, I really believe are actually demonic beings. They're fallen angels. They're evil spirits. Because we have to remember, you know, we had a third of the angels of heaven that were kicked out, not counting the 200 that cohabitated with women on the earth during the times of Noah. And now we have this horrible problem on the earth. And as Jesus said, Yeshua says, Luke 17:26 verses 26-27, and as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be also in the days of the Son of Man. They did eat, they drank, they married wives. They were given in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark and the flood came and destroyed them all. This is what we shared with you guys last week. We were going into how that the same thing has repeated again in modern days. And as I shared with you last week as well, we went back to the book of Enoch and were able to prove that indeed not just the Book of Enoch, but as one author wrote, Mr. Goff, that we see also according to the Book of the Giants that was found in Qumran, the Qumran fragments on the Book of Enoch, which was considered to be a biblical canon by the people that were living in Qumran, the Israelites that were living there during those times 2,000 years ago. And one scholar even attesting that the completed fragment or completed book of Enoch that was discovered at Qumran that was sold to a Kuwaiti buyer, he got to examine it and said that it was very similar to that of the Ethiopic version of the book of Enoch. But clearly Enoch speaks about how that there would that during the times of Noah they were eating human flesh and drinking human blood, and that these Nephilim were so violent, and that they were just, they had turned, they sinned against the animals, no doubt slaughtering them as well. But specifically the eating was of human flesh and human blood. So they were eating and drinking, yes, eating human flesh, drinking human blood. And of course they were given in marriage. It wasn't so much promiscuity, it was the fact that these fallen angels took the daughters of man and married them and had children by them, produced giants in the land. And as we spoke about how that in modern days, there are people like L.A. Marzulli, Steve Quayle, another one there that have been bringing out information about giants that are in the land, soldiers that have come forth that have spoke about fighting some of these giants that are in the Middle East there, Afghanistan specifically. Very troubling information that we're finding out. And of course, they talk about their strength, their speed, their size. And it reminds me of the days of Joshua and Caleb when they went with the 10 spies to spy out the land, etc. So as we look at it as well, cannibalism is sexual perversions, animal abuse, the descent of Middle Eastern Islam into primeval abyss. From the World Tribune, Window on the Real World, they published this article June 2nd, 2016. This was what they were seeing that was going on in the Middle East. And of course, it sounds exactly like what was happening during the days of Noah. And Yeshua, Jesus himself, said those days would repeat again. All right, and it says, of course, the worst, the most terrible of it all is they were back into cannibalism. Been many articles that have come out on exactly that. Let's go right into some scripture, though. We'll kind of pick up where we left off. Deuteronomy chapter 32, verses 28 to 30. I want to kind of go back and kind of bring up how we know what we're dealing with today. For they are a nation void of counsel, neither is there any understanding in them. Oh, that they were wise, that they understood this, that they would consider their latter end. How should one chase 1,000 and two put 10,000 to flight, except their rock had sold them and the Lord had shut them up? Now, this is the God of Israel speaking to about the Jewish people. At one time, a mighty nation, the likes of Samson, Joshua, Caleb, the tribes of Israel that did follow Joshua and Caleb in the battles and overcame these giants that were living in the land. Which kind of makes you wonder, how come they're living in the land when the flood supposedly destroyed them all? That's something we might be talking about tonight, just a little bit, to share some insights with you. Let's look over here at Genesis chapter 6. I want to go through here with you with this one here, verse 3 through 4. It says, and this is from Mamre, so it's a little different than the King James Version, and if it's off a verse for you, I apologize. Sometimes it is a verse or two off. I don't think this one will be, but it says, and the Lord said, my spirit shall not abide in man forever, for that he also is flesh, therefore shall his days be 120 years. The Nephilim were in the earth in those days, and also after that, when the sons of God came unto the daughters of men, and they bore children to them, the same were mighty men that were of old, the men of renown. By the way, where I'm reading Nephilim, I believe in the King James Version, you get the word giants. It's Hanaphilim, Hoyoba'ats. Okay, so yes, there were, those giants were in the land. This is back during the times of Noah, as we're reading over here in Genesis, because later in Genesis chapter 9, this is when Noah comes through the Antediluvian destruction. So we're just setting the stage of the types of giants that were in the land. And the sons of God came unto the daughters of men, and they bore children unto them. And Yeshua said, Jesus says that that day was going to repeat again. Let's jump over now to Numbers chapter 13. We're going to look at verses 17 through 19 here. And Moses sent them to spy out the land of Canaan and said unto them, get you up here into the south and go up into the mountains and see the land, what it is, and the people that dwelleth therein, whether they are strong or weak, whether they are few or many, and what the land is that they dwell in, whether it is good or bad, what the cities they are that they dwell in, whether in camps or in strongholds. Let's continue on. And what the land is, whether it is fat or lean, whether there is wood therein or not, and be ye of good courage. Bring the fruit of the land. Know the time was... Now the time was the time of the first ripe grapes. So they went up and spied out the land from the wilderness of Zin unto Rehob at the entrance of Hamath. And they went up into the south and came unto Hebron and Haman and Shishai and Talmai. The children of Anak were there. Now Hebron was built 7 years before Zoan in Egypt. We'll just pause here just for a minute. We're going to come back to the story here of Joshua and the 10 spies here in just a moment, Joshua and Caleb, as they went to spy out the land. But what's interesting as we begin to look at what the biblical setup is here, Moses is telling him to go and spy out the land. We see the mention of the name of Anak that is in here. Anak, by the way, is a Nephilim. We're going to get into that in just a few moments here. But we also find out that that what's going on at this time here is that the flood has already come. The flood has wiped out the Nephilim race. And God is sending Moses over there to check out this land long after the years have passed of Noah and the flood. And of course, we have the patriarchs that come on the scene, etc. But he sends them down to spy out the land. And he talks about the people there. And he wants to know what's the condition of the land. So let's move on down now. Verse 23. And they came into the valley of Ishkol and cut down from thence a branch with one cluster of grapes. And they bore it upon a pole between two. They took also of the pomegranates and of the figs. That place was called the Valley of Ishkol because of the cluster which the children of Israel cut down from thence. And they returned from spying out the land at the end of 40 days. Now, we're going to drop down to verse 27 here. We'll continue on, and then we're going to come back and talk about what we're seeing here. And they told him and said, we came unto the land whither thou sent us, and surely it floweth with milk and honey. And this is the fruit of it. Howbeit the people that dwell in the land are fierce, and the cities are fortified and very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak there. Amalek dwelleth in the land of the south, and the Hittite, and the Jebusite, and the Amorite dwelleth in the mountains, and the Canaanite dwelleth by the sea, along by the side of the Jordan. And Caleb steeled the people toward Moses and said, we should go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. But the men that went up with him said, we are not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. And they spread an evil report of the land which they had spied out unto the children of Israel, saying, the land through which we have passed to spy it out is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof. And all the people that we saw in it are men of great stature. And there we saw the Nephilim, the sons of Anak, who come of the Nephilim, and we were in our own sight as grasshoppers, so we were in their sight. Now that's troubling, friends. That's troubling. We are seeing a repeat of history, not even in the days we're living in now. Yeshua said that it was going to repeat in this day. But after the flood, we have Nephilim back on the earth. Of course, we have it in King James Version. You have giants, verse 31, but it actually says it is the, not verse 31, but you actually have it. It says in there, verse 33, it is the Nephilim, ha-Nephilim. So how did they make it back on the earth? Well, here's what's interesting, friends. Enoch, if you research Enoch in the Bible, there is no genealogy of him other than his father. I believe that if it is true, from what some of the people are saying today, even in the case of the Canadian former defense minister there, and what he says is that these alien beings that are here on the earth today are coming from other planets, etc. And we know that Satan is what? The prince of the air. Could there be a connection there? Could it have been when the flood was going on? Because like I said, the Nephilim that were on the earth during that time, those were the children of the 200 angels that came down, the watchers that came down and cohabitated with them. Could they have come down and done it again? Jesus says, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the coming of the Son of Man. They were what? Not just eating and drinking, but they were given in marriage. Are they once again intermingling with the human race of the earth? Do you know that they say, and this is, I just have to say this as a conjecture, I don't know if it's true or not, but they say Princess Diana claimed that the royal family of England was reptilian. Could that be another case of the Nephilim being brought in? Now, I don't say her sons are giants, so it doesn't seem to make sense there, but you know, it's just like a case in point. I don't know what the case, I don't know what to think of these things, friends. I really don't. All I know is that there are being reports that are being leaked out that there are giants in the land. We are seeing in the Middle East cannibalism all over again. All the things that were happening back then we're seeing now. And Caleb and Joshua said they came into the land and they were giants. And not only that, they didn't only just say that. There's another very interesting point here that he says here. Let's look at this once again. It says, the land eateth up the inhabitants thereof. They were cannibalists even then. This is why they were so afraid of them. They were even cannibalism going on then. Look at what Joshua says, chapter 15, verse 14 through 16. And Caleb drove out thence the three sons of Anak, Sheshai, Ahiman, and Talmai, the children of Anak. And he went up thence against the inhabitants of Debir. Now the name of Debir before time was Karath Sepher. And Caleb said, he that smiteth Karath Sepher and taketh it to him will I give Achish, my daughter, to wife. So they killed off Enoch's descendants then. But then we get another interesting word here from Deuteronomy chapter 3 verses 10 through 11. This what I'm about to read to you now, this will actually help you to see that what some of these whistleblowers are talking about, multiple races, that's true even biblically speaking. Deuteronomy chapter 3 verse 10 through 11. All the cities of the plain of Gilead and all Bashan and to Salcah and Adri, cities of the kingdom of Og and Bashan. For only Og, king of Bashan, remained of the remnant of the Rephaim. Behold, his bedstead was bedstead of iron, and it's not in Reba of the children of Ammon. 9 cubits was the length thereof, and 4 cubits the breadth thereof, after the cubit of a man. A different race altogether. Another giant. You know, so are there races of them? Well, we can see biblically two different races. Rephaim and Nephilim. I don't know the difference of them. Maybe some other of these guys like Steve Quayle and L.A. Marzulli, they may know the answer to these things. All I can do, friends, is share with you what I'm seeing from the biblical account. And the experiences I see and the news that we watch and see that's going on in the world today, very troubling situation. But the thing that's still of a good thing, and that is that God will raise up a standard against this. And if God could take with the children of Israel and put to flight 1,000, like in the case of Samson, and we have other records in the Bible where 5 can put to flight 100 men of the children of Israel, and 2 can put to flight 1,000. We have different biblical accounts. What do you think is going to happen when the two witnesses come in? I think that's what's going to put a spark of fire underneath us. It's what's going to wake us up to who we really are. Let's look at Revelation 11. This is, again, speaking about the two witnesses. And don't forget, though, that verse 1 actually speaks about the building of the temple. So, yes, there is going to be a temple built, no doubt. But I don't think that this is where the Holy Spirit is coming to. And I will give power unto my two witnesses, and they shall prophesy 1,260 days, clothed in sackcloth. These are the two olive trees and the two candlesticks standing before the God of the earth. And if any man will hurt them, fire proceedeth out of their mouth and devour their enemies. And if any man will hurt them, he must in this manner be killed. These have power to shut heaven, that it rain not in the days of their prophecy, and have power over the waters to turn them to blood, and to smite the earth with all plagues as often as they will. And when they shall have finished their testimony, the beast that ascendeth out of bottomless pit shall make war against them, and shall overcome them and kill them. And their dead bodies shall lie in the street of the great city, which spiritually is called Sodom and Egypt, where also our Lord was crucified. I believe your two witnesses will set the stage. You know, it goes hand in hand when we think about when I read to you in part one of this series here, Moses in Exodus chapter 34, where God says that he would do wonders. In King James, we have marvels, but it's actually nephilot, wonders that he's never done before. Moses has some unfinished business to deal with. And I think that Elijah will be with him as well. And Moses, by the way, friends, let me tell you something. You know, they were there on Mount Transfiguration. They were both witnesses to the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's why I think they're called witnesses. Not only that, Moses is a witness to what God said to him on Mount Sinai and what the Ten Commandments were that were originally given to Israel. So therefore, he is a true witness for Israel, modern day Israel, and to know that indeed that Yeshua was Messiah. Elijah as well was a witness to the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus, as we see in the Mount Transfiguration showdown, and we also, not showdown, but the Mount Transfiguration experience. And as well, Elijah foreruns the Messiah. We know that John forerunned him, but don't forget, Jesus prophesied. When he spoke about John the Baptist, and when he speaks about, they ask him the question after the Mount Transfiguration event took place. They said, well, don't the scribes and Pharisees say that Elias must first come and restore all things? And he said, truly he shall first come and restore all things. A future coming. He said, but I say to you, he's already come. They did to him what was listed. That was speaking about John. So he's going to forerun the Messiah both times. And I think that's very, very interesting to see.